Today's daf is Nidarim daf Mem. We are holding on the bottom, very bottom of daf Lamates and Beis, and we are continuing in Bikur Cholim today. So we're going to learn a lot about Bikur Cholim. We're going to learn about the benefit of being Mevaker the Chola, why it benefits the Chola. We're going to learn about whether a person should reveal to the world when he's sick or keep it a secret when he's sick, or at what point he should start telling people. We're going to learn about the Schar for Bikur Cholim, and we're also going to learn about the timing of Bikur Cholim. What time during the day is it best for a person to go and do Bikur Cholim? And when you do go, do Bikur Cholim, we're going to talk about the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the Chola and how that affects our behavior toward the Chola when we're Mevaker Cholim. And then at the very end of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to switch topics and it's going to talk for a moment about being Tovel in a river during the rainy season, as opposed to in a mikvah, as opposed to in a river during the non-rainy season. And that will take us through Amud Beis, which is a total of 5 lines of Amud Beis. Amud Beis is very short today. So let us continue in Bikur Cholim. We are holding at Rav Chelbo Chalash. Last few words of the page on Lamed Tes and Beis. Rav Chelbo Chalash. Rav Chelbo got sick. Nafak Achriz Rav Kahana. Rav Chelbo Boish. Lo Ika Tukasi. So Rav Kahana went out and started making an announcement. He said, "Hey everybody, Rav Chelbo is sick. No one's coming to be mevaker him." So the Iyun Yaakov explains the reason that no one came to be mevaker him is because we just said in yesterday's daf that it only helps to take away 1/60th of a person's illness if you are Ben Gilo, if you are on his level, if you're on the same page as him. But no one felt that they were Ben Gilo of Rabbi Chelbo, so they figured that there's no mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, that the whole mitzvah of Bikur is only to take away his illness. So that's why Rav Kahana had to tell them, no, there's another reason for Bikur Cholim. It's not just that you're going to take away his illness. So Rav Kahana tells them the following. Amar Lahu, Rav Kahana says to all these Rabbanon, Lo kacha yamaisa betam lerecha mitamidi Rabbi Akiva. Don't you know the story of that student of Rabbi Akiva, Shechala, that got sick, and lo nichnusu chacham levakro, and the chachamim didn't come to visit him? You wonder if this is from the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva that didn't get along, that they weren't coming to visit him. But the other Talmidim didn't come to visit him. V'nichnas Rabbi Akiva levakro, and Rabbi Akiva came in to visit his Talmud, ubishvil shekivdu v'ritzu l'fan of chaya, and because Rabbi Akiva took care of all the needs, he cleaned up and he swept and he took care of the area, made sure it was nice and clean, and took care of him, the person was able to live, the Talmud was able to live. Amalei, and the Talmud said to Rabbi Akiva, Rebbe, hechi yisani, you kept me alive. Yatzar Rabbi Akiva v'daris, Rabbi Akiva went out and taught to everybody, kol mi she'in mevaker cholim ki ilu shofich damim, that someone who is not mevaker cholim, it's as if he is killing somebody, because you have the ability to keep someone alive through your Bikur Cholim, and if a person does not do that, it's as if he's being Shofech Damim. The Mefarish of here explains that the Mevakrim do the Tzorchei HaChola, they take care of the Chola, so someone who's not Mevaker is withholding the ability to take care of the Tzorchei HaChola, and therefore it's as if he's killing him, because he's not going to be able to survive. The Netziv, however, adds a nuance over here. Merome Sadeh, he quotes from the She'iltos, that since the guy who's not Mevaker, if you're not Mevaker Cholim, it's a friend of yours, and really you should have been Mevaker the Chola, so every time you see him in the future, you're going to be embarrassed. I didn't go visit him, he was sick, and I didn't go visit him. So somewhere deep down, the person may be saying, I just hope he dies, so I don't have to face that embarrassment. So that's why it's Ki'ilu Shofech Damim. You're going to be davening somewhere deep down that the guy should die, so that you want to face the embarrassment of not being Mevaker the Chola. This Gemara is very critical in terms of explaining the logic of Bikur Cholim. So far we have Bikur Cholim being there takes away a certain element of his illness, but being there also has a practical benefit, that you're able to take care of him, that you're able to, and then we're going to see later in the daf a third benefit, that when you see the chola, you're able to size up the situation and feel bad for him and daven for him. So it's going to inspire tefillah for the chola. So this leads the poskim to discuss Rav Moshe and Nibus Moshe Yerdei Chelek Aleph Sim Reish Chav Gimel and Nechas Yitzchak and Chelek Beisim Pedalit. What if a person can't go be Mevaker Chola in person? Is there any benefit to being Mevaker Chola by telephone? By giving them a phone call and say, how you doing? Just see what's up. So Rav Moshe points out, it's a partial kiyum of Bikur Cholim, meaning as far as the issue of being able to take care of his practical needs, so it's very limited by telephone. There's not much you could do for him practically. What Rabbi Akiva did for his Talmud, you can't do over a telephone. But as far as being inspired to daven for him, because you speak to him and you hear how he's doing, and you know he's more at the center of your consciousness, so then it's certainly a partial key. Maybe not as much as if you would have seen him and really been able to size up the situation, but something as far as taking away 1/60th of his illness, not so clear. You could argue it. You could argue it both ways. So all the poskim say, Rav Moshe says, and others, that it's certainly best to go be mevaker in person. That's obviously ideal. That's what a person should ideally do. But if you can't, so then it's a partial kiyum to be mevaker by telephone. The same is true by nichum avelim as well. If you have the opportunity to be there in person, it's always better to be there in person to add that personal touch. But if you're not able to be there in person, so then using a telephone would work as well, at least in a b'dieved situation. So weiter in the Gemara. So Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar Kolam Mevaker Sachola Gorim Lo Sheyichya. Where Rav Dimi came, he explained that anyone who's Mevaker Sachola, he causes him to live. The Kol Sheinu Mevaker Sachola Gorim Lo Sheyamos. And anyone who doesn't is not Mevaker Sachola causes him to die. My grandma. So in what sense is he causing him to die? If we mean to say that when you visit a sick person, you're going to daven for him that he should live, and when you don't visit a sick person, you're going to daven for him that he should die, really? That's what a person is going to do? He's going to daven that a person should die? No. El kol she'ein mevaker chole ein mevakish lo rachamim lo sheyichya velo sheyamos. The point is that if a person is not mevaker chole, he's not going to daven for him that he should live, nor will he daven for him that he should die. So the Eitz Yosef says, why didn't we just say very simply that what Rav Dimi meant to say is that when someone's mevaker chole, he takes away 1/60th of his illness. And that's why Rav Dimi said, if you're not mevaker chole, you cause him to die, because you're not taking away a portion of his illness. Why don't we just say like that? So the Gemara said, because if that were the case, why would Rav Dimi use the phrase kol ha-mevaker esachola is causing him to live? Kol she'ein ha-mevaker esachola. That sounds like anybody. But we said yesterday, the 1/60th of his illness is only for Ben Gilo. It's not for anybody. That's what the Eitz Yosef writes on the Ein Yaakov, one of the commentaries on the Ein Yaakov. That's why the Gemara can't assume that Rav Dimi means that we're talking about taking away 1/60th of his illness. That wouldn't make sense, because that wouldn't apply to everybody. That would only apply to a very limited amount of people. The Sefer Tiferes Tzion explains, when we say Mevakish Levrachamim Sheyamos, that you're davening for him that he should die, he says that the havamina of the Gemara is that when someone's not mevaker chola, mistamat, he's not being mevaker because he thinks that there's no chance that the guy is never going to have a refuah. So what do you do when there's no chance that the guy is going to live, and you think that there's absolutely no chance, it's hopeless, and now he's suffering, so you're going to daven that he should die, that Hashem should put him out of his misery, you know, he's not going to get better anyway. So the Gemara says, sheyamos al kadaitach. What do you mean? Even if you're nisyayish from refuah, it's still good for him to live. It's still beneficial for him to live, because yafa shah achas b'tshuva meisim tovim b'olamazah mikol chayel mabal. The Mishnah says, you know, in Pirkei Avos, that it's better to live one moment in this world with mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim than all of chayei olam haba. So what kind of business is that you would daven that a person would die? Chas v'shalom, even if it's hopeless, you still want him to live every minute that he could live on this earth, because every minute on this earth is so valuable. Nevertheless, the Ran over here has a very startling comment that the poskim pay a lot of attention to, where you see the top Ran, Ein mevakish levrachim lo sheyichya v'lo sheyamos, that if someone is not mevaker chola, he's not going to daven for him at all, not that he should live, nor that he should die, says the Ran, Nira be'ein ha'da'achi kamar, pa'am shetzarech levakish rachamim al chola sheyamos. Sometimes it's appropriate to daven that a person should die. If a person is really suffering in his illness, and the doctors say there's no hope for him, so therefore the best thing for that person is to be put out of his misery, put out of his suffering, and you could daven and you could die. And what's my raya, says the Ran? It's a Gemara at the end of Kesuvos. The Gemara says, the kivin de chazai amse de rebi da al kamazim lebeis akisei vanach tefillin v'kometztayer. When Rebbe's maidservant saw how much pain he was and how much he was suffering, that he would have to go to the bathroom every 2 seconds, and he had to keep on taking off his tefillin, putting on his tefillin, and it was causing him so much tzar. Amra, she said, that even though everyone down here on earth is davening for Rebbe to survive, and up in Shemayim they want to take Rebbe's neshama already, so she davened that Shemayim should win, and that all the tefillos down here shouldn't help, and that the Rebbe should die already. Kolomer Dulbeimus Rebbe. That's why the Gemara says, if you visit the sick person, you could daven for him that he should live. And if a person doesn't visit a cholah, not only are you not giving him life, sometimes he needs death and you're not even giving him that. When you mevakar the cholah, you could see how terrible it is, how awful his situation is, and you can then figure out whether it's appropriate to daven that he lives, or it would be better to daven that he would die. So this is a major discussion in the poskim, whether we pass him like this run or not, that it's okay to daven that a person should die. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach holds, yes, you're allowed to daven that a person should die, but what you're not allowed to do is withhold treatment. That if no matter how dire the situation is, if there's any medication that you can give him that will keep him alive, you're mechuyev to give him that medication. The Rav Shapta points out, it's a little odd. You're going to give him the blood pressure medication and the dialysis and all these things that will keep him alive while davening that the medicine doesn't work. Right? Davening that he should be put out of his suffering. So how do you treat him and then daven that shouldn't work? Very, very difficult. Some poskim suggest you can't daven that he should die. You have to keep him alive every moment of this earth. Others go in the other direction and say you could daven that he should die and you could stop treating him if it's hopeless and he's in pain. And every moment on this earth is more tsaros for him, more tsar, and he's not going to recover. So then you don't have to treat him. You have to give him oxygen, you have to give him food, but you don't have to treat him, you don't have to give him medication to keep him alive. So that's a major discussion. The end-of-life issues, very, very nogeya to this run. This comes up all the time, unfortunately. Now, the Chassam Sofer explains a little differently. The Chassam Sofer is based on the Gemara Brachos. Gemara Brachos says, and Daf Lama Dalid, that anyone who's Mavakesh Rachamim in front of a Chola, when you daven in front of the guy, you don't have to mention his name. So the Mekubalim write that if a person mentions the name of the Chola when he davens, he's Ma'orer Midas Hadin on the person a little bit. That even though it's good to mention the name of the Chola when you daven for him, but it causes a little bit of Midas Hadin to affect the Chola. So it turned out that if a person is Mavakesh Chola and he davens for him, he causes him to only live without any element of Midas Hadin, because you're right in front of him, you don't have to mention his name. The mention of his name alone is going to cause a little bit of midas hadin. So that's why when you're Eino Mevaker, even if you're davening for him, when you're Eino Mevaker, but you have to mention his name, and that's going to cause a little bit of a problem for him. Okay, Rava Yoma Kadma Ad Chalish. Rava, on the first day that he got sick, he used to tell people, don't let anyone know that I'm sick, because then it's going to be bad for my mazel if people find out that I'm sick. After that first day, he would tell his family, go and announce it in the markets. And why should you announce my illness in the markets? Because they're called the sunnily, lichtili. Whoever hates me, whoever doesn't like me, is going to rejoice in my suffering. And the pasuk says, that will be a violation of an issa for them, because you're not allowed to celebrate the downfall of your enemy, and therefore it's going to work out to my benefit, because they're going to be violating this issa, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to reward them with my further suffering. Udarachimli, and people who like me, libay larachmi, will then daven for me, so it'll work out great for everybody once you reveal my illness. The exact parameters of Nifala Ivcha al Tismach is a very interesting discussion as well. Every time one of our enemies falls, I remember when Osama bin Laden was killed, when Saddam Hussein was killed. So is that something that we should say halal for? Is that something we should say tehillim? We should daven and praise Hashem for? Or is that something that we shouldn't rejoice? We shouldn't celebrate? So b'nfala ivcha al tismach is one inyan, but many of the posts can point out that that's only when it's your enemy who's not an imminent threat to you. But we Klal Yisrael sings as Yashir when the Mitzvim are attacking us, and we're allowed to sing Shira. The Malachim are not allowed to sing Shira. Masayadar Tavim Biyamba, Tem Omrim Shira. Malachim are not allowed to sing Shira because the Mitzvim were not a threat to the Malachim, but they were a threat to us. So we were allowed to sing Shira at their downfall. So you could argue that when it comes to an enemy who's an imminent threat to us, we're allowed to sing Shira, we're allowed to have Simcha. But over here, like in this circumstance, Rava was not a threat to anybody. There were just people that didn't like him. So how could it be? People didn't like Rava. Such a tzaddik, people didn't like Rava. So the Marsha writes, and I forgot where I read it, I think about Basra, that if a rabbi is doing his job, I think the Gemara even says this, and Marsha just expounds on it, that if a rabbi is doing his job, then not everyone likes him. If everyone likes him, then it's a sign that he's not giving enough musar, that he's just trying to tell everyone what they want to hear. But if he's doing his job, not everyone's going to like him. Amarav, kol mevaker sachola nitzol midina shel gehenim. Anyone who's mevaker achola is going to be saved from the din of gehenim. Shenemar, ashrei maskil adol biyom ra'a yimalteu Hashem. On the day of Ra'ah, Hashem will spare him. Hashem will allow him to escape. So he's going to be saved from Dina Shel Gehenim. So how do I know that Dal is a reference to Chola, and that Ra'ah means Gehenim? Ein Dal ala Chola shenemar midali vatzeni. Inami minadin kra. Or maybe it's from the following pasuk. Madua atakacha Dal ben amelech baboker v'gomer. That Amnon is told, when Amnon falls in love with Tamar, so his friend tells him, why are you so sad? Why are you so dull? Why are you so sad today? That you look sickly. You're so upset that you have no access to Tamar. And that's when he gives him the advice to pretend that you're sick, and then Tamar will take care of you, and then you'll have her all alone, etc. Ein ra'a ela gehenim. And how do I know that ra'a means gehenim? Shenemar kol pa'al Hashem l'maneu v'gam rasha liyom ra'a. So you see that Rasha Liyom Ra'a. So v'imbiker mascharon for person. So again, what did we say? That anyone's mevaker chola is saved from gehenim. So we didn't discuss the full schar. We just said that it certainly saves a person from gehenim. So why is it that specifically biker cholim saves a person from gehenim? I would think, well, is that what mitzvahs do in general, that they save a person from gehenim? What is it about biker cholim in particular that saves from gehenim? So the Maharal explains that there's a certain mida connected mida over here, that the chola is right at the shar mothers. He's right at the doorstep of death, so he's already about to sink into the abyss. Someone's mevaker chola brings him out of the doorstep of death, so it's as if he's taking him out of Gehenim. So the Mida connected Mida is that the Mevaker is saved from Gehenim. Similarly, the Ibn Yaakov explains that someone's Mevaker Chola causes him to live either by taking 1/60th of his illness, or by taking care of his physical needs, like the Gemara said, like Rabbi Akiva did, or by davening for him, like we've been saying. And the Gemara is going to say later on in tomorrow's daf that a Chola only has a refuah once he gets a kapara for his averos, because the fever of a chola is considered to be in the place of the fire of Gehenim. So if the mevaker causes him to be saved from Gehenim, meaning from the fever of the chola, which is his personal Gehenim, so it's a mida k'neged mida that the mevaker is going to be saved from Gehenim. So the way all the acharim explain it is that there's some sort of mida k'neged mida. So one of the acharim says, no, it's that the mevaker explains to the chola that he has to be mekabel Yisurim Ba'ava, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing him, but he has to be Mekabel Ba'ava, and through that, through being Mekabel the Yisurim Ba'ava, that itself, that zechus of reacting toward his Yisurim properly, is going to save him from Gehenim. And in that way, the Mevaker is saving him from Gehenim. So whatever it is, whatever the method is, according to whichever Achron you want to say, like, when someone visits a Chola, in some way, the visitor is saving the Chola from Gehenim. So Mela, it makes sense that the Mevaker's reward is that he's going to be saved from Gehenim. V'im biker mascharo, and what's the great schar for biker cholim? So mascharo, what do you mean, what's the schar? Kedavra, he told me dinah shel Gehenim. Well, we just said he's going to be saved from Gehenim. What more do you need? El mascharo bol mazeh. No, we mean, what's his schar in this world? How do you know he has any schar in this world? So the Ibn Yaakov explains, based on the Gemara and Shabbos, Mitzvah's Bikur Cholim is amongst, and the Gemara and Shabbos, Kuchav Zayin Amalav says, it's one of the things that Adam Ochel Perasein Bol Mazev, Akeren Kayemus Lol Maba. So if it's one of those things that you could be Ochel Perasein Bol Mazev, which means you get rewarded in this world, and the mitzvah is still going to be there for you in the next world. So that's why we're asking Mascharo, because we know that there's supposed to be some sort of this worldly schar when it comes to Bikur Cholim. Good. So what is his char? Hashem yishmrei v'yichayehu, v'osher ba'aretz v'altidneu b'nefesh oivav. What does that mean? Hashem Yishmerehu means Miyetzer Hara. Hashem will protect him from the Yetzer Hara. V'yichayehu, and Hashem will allow him to live. Mnei Yisurin, Hashem is going to protect him from suffering. V'osh Baretz, Shiyakol Mischabdin Bo, that everyone is going to be honored through him. V'altit Neu B'nefesh Oivav, Shiyizdam Nilo Reim K'na'aman, Shiripuas Tzarato, V'alizdam Nilo Reim K'ruchavim, Shechulkos Malchuso. He's going to have the right kind of friends that are able to give him the right kind of advice. Like Naaman, who's able to be merapei his friends from Tzara'as, and not like the friends of Rechavam, who ended up splitting Rechavam's malchus because his friends were bad friends. Tanya, so now the famous drasha about Rechavam's friends. Rechavam's friends were young, and if you have the opportunity to take advice from people who are young or for people who are old, you take advice from people who are old because they have a little more life experience, a little more perspective. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Im yomru lecha yiladim b'nei uzakenim sasar. If children tell you to build, and Zakenim tell you to destroy, meaning what the younger friends are telling you sounds so promising and so good, they're telling you what sounds like they're telling you to build something, and the older people are telling you something that sounds like they're telling you to destroy something, knock something down. So why don't you listen to the old people? Shema l'zakenim al tishma l'yaladim. Listen to the Zakenim, not to the young people. Why? Shebinyan yaladim stira, ustira Zakenim binyan. Because what the younger generation views as building is really destructive in the long run, meaning it may be a short-term fix, but in the long run, it's going to be destructive. And when the older generation tells you to destroy, it may be just it may seem like destruction, but that's short-term. Long-term, you're gonna build. That was Rechavam's question when Shlomo HaMelech died, and people complained that the taxes were too high. So the younger generation told him, you have to show them who's boss, double the taxes and make it even worse and make it... So it sounded like, okay, they're telling me to take more money and more money. It sounds great, I like money. But the in the long term, he loses the people that way. And he's not gonna, and the whole economy is going to fall apart and no one's going to be interested in paying the taxes and he's going to lose out in the end. And that's going to lead to the splitting of the malchus. The older generation said you have to make nice to the people now. And if he would have bought their loyalty then in the long run, he would have benefited a great deal. The mashal, the Achronim explained, that the Marsha explains that the mashal is, imagine you have a building and you're thinking about doing an expansion on the building. So you let them tell you, okay, just add another floor on top of the building. You have two floors, add a third floor. But the walls may not be strong enough to support the third floor. So it looks like you're building, but the whole place is going to sink right into the ground. Whereas the Canaan will say, knock it down, put proper foundation in, and then build it back up slowly till you can build up that extra floor. So they're telling you sorry, they're telling you destroy, but really they're telling you to build up. They're giving you the opportunity to build in the long run. The Simon Ladover, and the way to remember this good advice is Rechavam ben Shlomo, is how Rechavam took advice from his young friends, and look where it landed him. Amrav Shisha Bredu Avidi, Lo Lisud Inish Katsira, a person shouldn't visit the sick, at least that's the way most of the Rishonim understand that phrase. Lo Bitlas Shoi Kadmaisa, Velo Bitlas Shoi Basraisa Diyoman, not in the first 3 hours of the day, nor in the last 3 hours of the day. Because we don't want you to give up on davening for him. And you're going to give up on davening for him if you go during those times. Why? First 3 hours of the day is when he's strongest. So you're going to see him. He's, oh, he looks great. He doesn't need such tefillos. The last 3 hours of the day, he's already wiped from the whole day. And he looks much worse than he is. And you're going to think, oh my God, there's no tefillah in the world that's going to help this guy. He's terrible. So if you want to get an accurate picture of how the challah is, you go middle of the day. You don't go too early, you don't go too late. The Rambam in Hilchos Avot, Parak Yudal, Halacha Hey says, Ein mevakrenes challah lo b'shalosh shalosh rishonos b'yom v'lo b'shalosh achronos. He quotes this halacha exactly, but then he adds, mipnei shein misaskin b'tzarchei achola. He says, because that's the time normally where they're taking care of the needs of the challah. And you don't want to get in the way when people are taking care of the needs of the challah. Very strange that the Gemara gives a reason why not to visit early and why not to visit late. The Rambam gives his own reason against the Gemara. So some suggest the Rambam must have had a different girsa than the Gemara. How else are you going to explain why the Rambam changes the Gemara? That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. The Rambam must have had a different girsa. Otherwise, why would he give a different reason than the reason that the Gemara offers? So says the Gemara. Yeah. Amar Rav and Amar Rav. Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Zan Es Hachala. How do we know that Hashem supports Hachala? Shenemar Hashem Yisadenu Al Eres Tavai. That that Hashem will support him even on his deathbed. How do we know that the Shekhinah is there on the top of the bed of the Chola? So Shneimar Hashem Yisadenu Aleres Tivai. Tiny Nami Yochim. Rabbeis it says like this: Had Nichnas Levakar as a Chola. If someone is going to visit a Chola, Lo Yeshev Lo Al Gabi Mita, Lo Al Gabi Safsel. Don't sit on a bed. Don't sit on a bench. Lo Al Gabi Kisei. Don't sit on a chair. El Misatig Yoshev Al Gabi Karka. You have to wrap yourself up and sit on the ground. Because the Shekhinah hovers above the bed of the Chola. So you're not supposed to put yourself above the Shekhinah. So you shouldn't sit on above where the Chola is. So not on a chair, not on a bench, you sit on the ground when you go visit the Chola. So a couple of interesting things over here. We said, how do we know Hashem supports the Chola? So the Ibn Yaakov, on the Ibn Yaakov says, what are you talking about? How do we know that Hashem supports the Chola? Hashem supports everybody. He's mefarnes the entire world. Mikarni reivim adkinim ad beitz ekinim to the tiniest lice. He supports. He gives that. So of course he's on a chola. Of course he supports a chola. So the Ibn Yaakov suggests that had we not had this drasha from the pasuk, could be that we would assume that a chola is different than everybody else, because a chola is going through a time of bad mazel, and maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu abandons him in a time of bad mazel. So that's why the pasuk tells us, no, even someone who has something negative going on in his life has this bad mazel going on in his life, Hashem is still supporting him. Now, what's this business about not sitting on a chair? We always do that. You go to a hospital and there's always a chair in the room. You visit the chola, you sit down in the chair and you talk to him. In fact, we had a whole discussion about Hamida and Yeshiva when you go visit the chola. So the Ran explains that Yesh Misha Omer, that there are those that say that this whole discussion is only if the chola is on the ground. So then you shouldn't be above with the level of the chola, because then you're putting yourself on par with the Shekhinah. But the chola is on a bed, so you could sit on a chair, and the Shekhinah is above both of you, and that's perfectly fine. The Ritva quotes a machlokas about this, that some say that it's only usher for him to sit on a bench if he's equal with the head of the chola, but if he's in a lower place than the bed of the chola, he's allowed to sit on a bench. And some say it's usher to sit keneged merashosav, across from the chola's head, the cholinyin. So he says the minhag is like the first shita, that as long as you're sitting on a chair, it's not as high as the chola's bed, then that's perfectly okay. And that's typically the way hospital rooms are set up anyway. So that works out just fine in terms of where we sit when we're going to be mevaker a chola. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. The Amar Ravin Amar Rav Mitra b'Ma'arava. So now we're done with Bigur Cholim. Now, so Amar Ravin Amar Rav is just recording another statement of Ravin Amar Rav, because we had just quoted a statement of Amar Ravin Amar Rav 5 lines ago. I think we're going to get back to Bigur Cholim tomorrow, but for right now, we're done with Bigur Cholim. So Amar Ravin Amar Rav Mitra b'Ma'arava. When it rains in Eretz Yisrael, Sahada Rabba, the greatest testimony to the fact that it's raining is Paras, is the Paras River, because you see that it overflows when it rains in Eretz Yisrael. I guess it flows down from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. So you see that the Paras River is a great simen of rain in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says Upliga de Shmuel, and that's against Shmuel. Why? Damar Shmuel nahar mikipe misbarach. Shmuel holds that when a river gets full, it's from its own sources, its own springs, underground springs that fill it up. It's not from rainwater that it's filling up. And this has a very big nafkamina la'alacha, because rainwater only works if it's still, if it's in a mikveh, if it's not moving. But rainwater that's flowing is not metayer a person. You can't use it as a mikveh. So if the river is being supported from its own natural springs, you're allowed to use that river for tevila. You're allowed to go to the mikveh in such a river. But if a river is not being supported from its own natural springs, it's rainwater that's supporting the river, then you're not allowed to use it for tevila. So you see that yisod clearly comes from this gemara, that spring water is metayer even if it's flowing, but rain rainwater is only metar b'ishboren, only if it's still, if it's not moving. So the Gra explains in Yardeya Simin Reishvav, the reason for the chilek is that since a mayon, the halacha is, there's no, the din that you need 40 sa'ah of water in order to be metar is only true by a mikveh. It's not true of a spring of water, of a flowing spring of water, of a mayan. So since a mayan is metar b'kol shehu, so it's metar even when it's flowing, as opposed to a mikveh, you need mem sa'ah. So that's not going to work when it's flowing, because flowing water is never, you never have mem sa'ah in one place. The water that's here now is gone a second later, and and the water that's here in a second from now is not the water that was here before. So you're never going to have mem sa'ah if it's flowing. So since rainwater needs to be still, needs to be mem sa'ah, therefore it needs to be still. Because if it's flowing, it's not memsa. Chaznish says he doesn't think that that's correct. He brings a raya from a shita of the Rash in Maseches Mikvaos, in the fifth parak of Mikvaos, that even something that could be metar b'kolshu is still not metar b'zechila, and that the two are not necessarily tali zebezet. You could have something that's only that could be metar even with a tiny amount, with less than memsa, and still zechila. Still, if it's flowing, it's not going to help. Okay, but that's the shita of the Gra at least. So anyway, so we have the original statement of Rav Nama Rav, that when you see the river overflowing, it's from rainwater. But Shmuel said, no, it's from its own natural springs. Says Gemara, not only is Shmuel against Rav Nama Rav, Upligid the Shmuel, the Shmuel. You know who else Shmuel's against? He's against Shmuel. The Amr Shmuel, because Shmuel contradicts himself, he says elsewhere, Eina mayim mitarin bezochlin ella paras b'yomit tishrei v'lvad. That a spring of water, that water will not be metayer when it's flowing, except for paras during the days of Tishrei, during the fall season, where it's where it will be metayer even if it's flowing. So the bottom line is that you see that that generally speaking, Shmuel is concerned that if it's being supported by rainwater, that it's not going to work. So Avua de Shmuel Avod Luhun Mikvaos Lebinte Biyomi Nisan Umaftsi Biyomi Tishrei. Shmuel's father made mikvaos for his daughters during Nisan, and he made mats for them during Tishrei. What does that mean? He made mikvaos for them during Nisan and mats during Tishrei. What's all this about? So first of all, the Achronim discuss, the Ravan Rishon, the Ravan discusses why it is that he made mikvaos for his daughters. Wouldn't you make a mikvah for your wife? So he says that he didn't live near Nahar Paras. He lived in a place of plenty of mikvaos. So his wife didn't need a special mikvah built for her. But his daughters lived near Nahar Paras, and he didn't want them going to the river in a time where it was possible to go to the river. So he dafka told them they can only use the river during the days of Nisan, but at other times he had to build them mikvaos. So the Ritva explains that that even b'yemei Nisan, where they didn't have rain, he would make mikvaos, because he was afraid that there was too much flowing water that was seeping into the mikveh from elsewhere that was going to passel the whole mikveh. But what's this mat that he made b'yomei Tishrei? So this is a machlokas between Rashi and the other Rishonim that appears all over Shas. Rashi, not here, obviously, over here, the Mefarish happens to say the same thing, but Rashi, Maseches Shabbos, and Maseches Becharos, and Maseches Nida, all over Shas, Rashi says that these mats were put on the bottom of the river so that when his daughters went to be tovel in the river, they wouldn't get mud in their feet, because if they got mud in their feet, it would be a chatzitza in the tevila. When a person goes to the mikvah, they can't have anything sticking to their body. It's going to be a chatzitza. So by putting the mats down, it saved them from a chatzitza in the tevila. That's why that's what he put these mats there for. So all the Rishonim ask, on Rashi, why do you need mats for that? There's a Mishnah, enough in the Mishnah, Maseches Mikvaos, Perek Zayin Mishnah Zayin, that talks about toveling a bed. Why would you have a tovel a bed? Because back in the days when they used to observe the laws of Taharos, if a nida, yoleda, zav, zava sits on a bed, that bed becomes navatum. So you have to tovel it. You have to bring it to a mikvah. So the Mishnah talks about, what about the fact that the legs of the bed are going to dig into the mud at the bottom of the mikvah? So is that going to be a chatzitza? So the Mishnah says, nah, it's not a problem, because the legs of the bed first touch water before they seep down into the mud and the ground of on the bottom of the river. So since they touch water first, the mud's not going to be a chatzitza. So all the Rishonim ask on Rashi, wouldn't you say the same thing by a person? A person goes into the mikvah, the bottom of their feet are wet, before it ever goes into the mud. So what do you need mats for? The whole issue of mats. So that's why a lot of the other Rishonim, Tosos writes in Masechta Shabbos, and then Rabbi Natan, these mats were not mats that they would put on the bottom of the mikvah to protect their feet. No, these mats were mats that were put, what do you call it, not horizontally, but vertically. They were put in order to make like a little surrounding around them so that they'll be sanua, so that people won't see them. They didn't want to go to the mikveh in the river, because everyone could see when they go to the river. They thought it was too not sanua to go to a mikveh in the river. So he built them mats, meaning he built them like these little cubicles where they were able to go, and no one would see them. How do you defend Rashi? So some suggest that Rashi would defend himself by saying there's a difference between a bed, the legs of a bed, and the feet of a person. Namely, the feet of a person have toes, and in between toes there are little cracks. So the little cracks between the toes could have mud that gets stuck in them, whereas the feet of the bed is just a smooth surface. So we assume that the water, you know, even when it does touch the mud, it's not going to be a chatzitza, because the mud comes right off. But the feet of a person could have mud stuck in between the toes, and therefore there's no water that touches the area at all, and that could be a chatzitza. But that's the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Okay, says the Gemara, last few lines over here. Amr Rabbi Ami Amar Rav, Mai Dichsiv Ata Ben Adam Aser Lecha Klei Gola. What does the pasuk mean? What does the pasuk mean in Sefer Yecheskel when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Now you Ben Adam, you should make yourself a Klei Gola, that you should have, and you should go into Golas to another place." And so, what are these kelim that are called Klei Gola that are so necessary for a person to have in Golas? So Zo Ner, it's the Ner. Ner is the kli that would hold the oil in which you put the wick to light. Ner is not like what we would call like a wax candle. It was the kli that would hold the oil. Uka'ara, and a small plate in order to knead some dough, and so that you won't have to you'll have an easy spot to knead the dough. Vishatiach, and it's also like a mat to eat on. So you'll have a leather mat that a person could eat on. Those are the bare minimum kelim that a person needs, even when he's exiled, even when he goes into galus. Okay, Beis Hashem, will pick up from Uvechoser Kol next time. Okay.